title of my talk is Committee Screening and Treatment in the Philadelphia Prison, and did it impact community chlamydia rates? And I want to start off by thanking Dan Newman in the back of the room, who did a lot of the work for the analysis. And of course, as you might have figured out by now, I'm not Marty Goldberg. Unfortunately, family circumstances kept him from coming to this conference, which we believe is the first time in his 38-year career. And as you know, Marty is very passionate about male screening, and I think you will feel that he's still here as I go through the slides with him. So just a little background. Screening sexually active women aged under 25 years for chlamydia is recommended, but as you know, there's no similar recommendation for males. In fact, as late as June in 07, the U.S. Task Force for Preventive Health Services noted that screening for chlamydia infection in men may be beneficial if it were to lead to a decreased incidence of chlamydia infection in women. The task force did not, however, find evidence to support this outcome. Benefits of screening men are unknown, and there remains a critical gap in the evidence. So we took on a project to look at chlamydia rates for females when we're treating a high prevalence population in males, to see if there would be a decline and hopefully to provide some evidence to fill this gap. Without evidence that male screening is beneficial, Philadelphia expanded their screening programs to include high-risk males. And just to give you a little idea of what goes on in Philadelphia, so in 1994, we began as an infertility prevention project site and began screening females in IVD clinics. 97, 98, we saw an increase in testing sensitivity. So as we had better tests, we were able to find more positives. And in 1999, there was a data analysis done in Philadelphia that found 25% of women had been reinfected since their previous visit. And that really sparked program people, aka Marty Goldberg, to say, why are these women getting reinfected? Huh, maybe it's men. Maybe we should screen men. So starting in 2000, we began screening in our Youth Study Center, which in Philadelphia is code for juvenile detention. This is a facility that's about 90% male. All youth are screened on intake. It represents maybe about 5,000 tests a year. In 2001, we began piloting testing in our high school programs, in our health resource centers. These are high schools that actually had health clinics where we could do screening. And then in 2002, we got the opportunity to start screening in prisons. Adult prisons includes both males and females. All ages are screened at intake for chlamydia and gonorrhea. In 2003, we began citywide high school screening and expanded to three more health resource centers as well. And finally, in 2004, we began screening in family court. So while we're increasing all of our screening, we start to say, I wonder what's going on between positivity in our screening program. So this is looking at a temporal association between increased citywide chlamydia screening and changes of rate by gender. So just to orient everybody to this graph, the pink bars represent the number of female tests done by year. And the blue bars represent the number of male tests done by year. So as you can see in 2002, that primarily represents adult prison screening, as well as a little bit of youth study center screening. And in 2003, with the starting of the high school screening program, in which we were screening all adolescents in schools, that represents the further increase in the blue bars. In red represents female positivity. Again, this is within the screening program operated by the health department in Philadelphia. And in the green represents male positivity. So as you can see, as we began screening more males, our female positivity came down, our male positivity went up, and even in 07, we didn't get a chance to throw the data on there before the slides were due, but it actually is remaining stable that we have 6% positivity in both males and females within our screening program. So this led us to approaching the CDC about asking whether increasing in our screening program, particularly in the males, was associated with the decline that we're seeing in the female positivity. Sorry, that slide was just gone. So from 1999 to 2004, chlamydia positivity in family planning clinics had also been declining. So as we're seeing a decline across the citywide screening program, we were also seeing a decline in the family planning clinic positivity. So our objective was to determine if screening and treating men aged 20 to 24 years in prison had an effect on family planning clinic chlamydia positivity rates in females of the same age group residing in the prisoner's home zip code. So some of the methods included using census and screening data. We created this ratio for each zip code in the Philadelphia County. Philadelphia City equals Philadelphia County for us. So from 2002 to 2004, among males aged 20 to 24, we created the numerator as being the average annual number of men diagnosed and treated for chlamydia in adult prisons, divided by the total number of males aged 20 to 24 residing in that zip code. And we were unable to get denominator data from the prison system about how many 20 to 24-year-old men were arrested from each prison that we actually believed. The data they sent us had multiple data errors. But the best we could come up with was to use denominator data from census. Obviously, not all men 20 to 24 years old is in prison and would be eligible for the prison screening program, but it gave us a universal denominator to figure out how many men 20 to 24-year-olds from that zip code were in prison. So we formed these three groups. And again, they don't really represent positivity because the denominator did not include all men in prison. But the three groups included high positivity of eight, which represented by 18 zip codes, low positivity, and for the average positivity, they were discarded for this analysis. And from this, we were able to compare changes in chlamydia positivity from women aged 20 to 24 from these two groups then for high and low. So we measured positivity changes in females in family planning clinics before from 1999 to 2001. And as we began screening in 2002, we tried to look forward and see was there a drop in chlamydia positivity from the high and low zip codes as we're treating the prisoners. So just to orient everybody to Philadelphia County and where the high and low zip codes come from, in the dark gray are the high positivity where there's a larger number of 24-year-old males in prison compared to the males that live there. And in the white is the low positivity, and again, the light gray were discarded for this analysis. And this map really represents citywide morbidity, with the exception of one zip code where it actually has one of the largest positivities, but made it as a low positivity group. And when we looked at it, it did make sense to us because their number of 20 to 24-year-old males are very high, but there are two large major universities there. So, as Marty says, you don't need to go to prison to get an STD. So just some of our results. Of 23,203 males aged 20 to 24 years residing in the 18 high positivity zip codes, we detected 1,054 infections from 2002 to 2004. So this is roughly about 1.5% of the entire population in the zip code group. Per year are being detected with an infection in prison. Conversely, of 21,057 males of the same age group in the low positivity group, we detected 98 infections. So this was very low, in less than 0.16% per year for the low positivity group. So now that we had our groups of high positivity males treated and or detected and treated in prison, we wanted to look at what was going on for the females of the same age group from family planning clinics. And we initially picked the family planning clinic data because it's been relatively stable through 1999 to 2004, the number of tests performed. So we thought, you know, we're looking at a stable testing population that we would get a good idea of what's going on. So this is kind of confusing. I promise to show a picture next, which will make it all clear. But in the 18 high positivity zip codes, prior to implementing screening in the prisons, the positivity in the females dropped 18.2%. So without screening any males in prison, we had an 18.2% decline in positivity. After we started screening males, we dropped an additional 14.6%. And then the low positivity group, not screening in prisons, we declined 26.5% in positivity for the females in found McClennan clinics. And after screening, we dropped 22.5%. So again, I promised to show a pretty picture that would help make this make more sense. So in purple, it represents the high positivity zip code. And this is chlamydia being detected and treated in all males as defined as the high positivity. And I do apologize, I did update this presentation, but it didn't make it here. The chlamydia positivity on the y-axis is actually female 20 to 24 family planning clinic chlamydia positivity. So as you can see in 1999, the positivity in the high morbidity zip codes represented by the purple line was 10.6%. It dropped to 8.1% as we started screening in adult prisons, and then continued to drop in 2004 to 7.4%. So at the same time, in the low positivity, not many men being screened in prison, it started off in 1999 at 7.3%, dropped down to about 5.5%, and then further dropped to 4.2%. So some of the conclusions is that the largest female chlamydia positivity reductions incurred prior to the implementation of the screening program. And despite a large number of males in prison being tested and treated for chlamydia, we were unable to directly associate the continued decline in female positivity for this age group. So, however, prisons remain as institutions where large numbers of infections can be found and treated. During the study period from 2002 to 2004, 4,318 men were tested and treated through the prison screening program, and this represents about 30% of the citywide male morbidity data. Now, several limitations, I'm going through them quickly. By limiting to the 20 to 24-year-old men, we were looking at less than 30% of the total population during this time period. The age group of looking at females 20 to 24 years might not be having sex with the same age group. Unfortunately, with all the other screening programs that came on at the same time, we couldn't expand our age groups at all. And I can tell you from vast personal experience that people do not have sex with the person who lives next to them who have the disease. They go across the city to get it. So looking at their same zip code is not exactly the best place as well. Again, they might not be seeking health care in family planning clinics, and methods might not have been robust enough to detect the difference. Of course, do not despair. Prison screening is a good thing. Our inability to detect an association should not be viewed as a reason not to screen. And as Marty likes to leave on a happy note, he had a couple things that he wanted me to put in and hurry through. Prison testing is a significant part of our citywide screening program. It represents 50% of our annual male screening. And the testing of males in Philadelphia has been associated with a reduction in hospitalized PID, and ectopic pregnancy cases have also declined. So you might have been there earlier this week, but we just wanted to further this into, again, to leave on a happy note, that there's a temporal association between increasing chlamydia screening and hospitalized PID in Philadelphia. We've been able to put this into a multivariable regression analysis and find that for every 10,000 females we're testing, we're preventing 35.8 cases of hospitalized PID. And for every 10,000 females in addition, or sorry, every 10,000 males tested in addition to 10,000 females, we're preventing about 60 cases of hospitalized PID. So it's a very significant association that we're hoping to expand on more to show that male screening is a very important thing, especially in a high prevalence population such as ours. So serious research on the impact of screening and treating high-risk males on the community, including long-term sequelae for females, needs to be done. Thank you.
So thank you very much. I just want to make one clarifying point. In Philadelphia, they usually short-term institutions have been incarceration for adults are called jails. And in Philadelphia, they call them a prison, and it's an old term. So I think what overall in the United States, what, at least what CDC is trying to promote, is doing screening in jails or short-term correction facilities, because persons who are in prison, what are more typically thought of as prisons,
right,
other than the definition in Philadelphia, are people who've been sentenced for more than a year. They're not going to be part of the community for a while. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that term.
Right, and we do have some people who are there for longer terms, but they're the population that we serve, there can be a quick turnaround where they're released on bail and get out early, but there are some sections that are there for a little bit longer.
Right. So I just like, so overall, what we're thinking about is screening in short-term facilities, and that's what mainly is the prison in Philadelphia. So questions?
Right, I mean, the hospitalized PID is, we're not linking that to any community infection or anything like that, so de-identified database and stuff like that. But within this, the family planning clinics, one thing we're looking at is, are we even looking at the, we have no links, are these people even having sex with the women that we're looking at? We don't, also, our largest decline, what happened before, adult prisons. And as we've been exploring even more our use of the family planning clinic data, we're finding a lot of inconsistencies that may have been that this is not the best data that we can pick as a stable representation of what's going on in the community. As we know that we do have 05 and 06 data that's not represented here because there were way too many inconsistencies to even begin to use that in the data. But I think a lot of our community, if we're actually seeing the decline, and we're seeing it, in the United States, region 10, we saw an initial decline and then it leveled out. And so one of the things that's interesting in Philadelphia, as they've added more things, we're continuing to see a decline. So what does that mean? Just because the slope of this curve is constant before and after something is introduced doesn't mean that it might not be effective given what we've seen elsewhere in the United States. So do you have a comment?
The only other thing that I would say, though, is that this is just family planning, but as we expand screening, our citywide morbidity is pretty much a flat line. We look at population data, and then we need to see a new door in your pockets, so that the prevalence in the pockets for people are respected in the same place is going down. But our citywide prevalence measured by citywide morbidity.
But most places in cities, it's going up. So that's a different street. So anyhow, so it's a lively debate. So,
we treat about 97-98%. Yeah. We all the prisoners that are not treated in prison are released to the field, our DIS staff follow them, and we do keep track of treatment in prisons, and we do achieve, Dan knows better, but it's 97-ish percent, but it's very high.
It's like unbelievable treatment. So I think one more question.
So the numerator was all of the males, like, for example, it would be all of the males who were tested and treated in zip code 19104 divided by all the males that live in 19104 who are aged 20 to 24. So each zip code had, before it was grouped, had its own calculation of how many prisoners per total males that lived there. Yes, divided by the total number of males that live in that zip code. So not all those males are in prison in the denominator.